Well, good afternoon, everybody. A fast-paced conference, and we've got some extraordinary speakers today. And my name is John Halamka, and I serve as Harvard's Healthcare Innovation Lead. I also lead innovation at Beth Israel Lahey Health. But why am I here today? And that is that I've served as editor-in-chief for the last 3 years of Blockchain and Healthcare Today, and done quite a lot of early work with blockchain. And so what we're gonna do is explore where we're forming alliances to bring together like-minded stakeholders in blockchain. I travel the world, and you still, in basically every country, see a lot of folks believing that blockchain will solve a variety of workflow and engineering problems. And so what we're gonna hear is from our alliances, and from a not alliance, but interested party, as to how they see the world, the problems to solve, and we'll push them a bit on blockchain. So David, why don't you go ahead and start?
Thanks, John. Yeah, David Weeks, I'm the Chief Technology Officer at NASCO. We're a digital healthcare IT company that supports the Blue Cross Blue Shield plans. We're also the operator of the Coalesce Health Alliance that we'll be talking about here in a second.
And so any other members of that alliance other than the Blues stakeholders?
Yep. So we have four of the largest Blue Cross Blue Shield plans, and then we have Express Scripts and Prime Therapeutics, and that's focused on the initial use case that we're looking at, which is to do with distributed accumulators and sharing accumulator information between kind of claims processing and pharmacy processing capabilities.
Got it. Now, wasn't Express Scripts just acquired by Cigna?
They were, yeah.
And so you're now including Cigna in your alliance, I suppose. So, by association.
By association, yeah. So I don't know if you want me to spend a few minutes on how we got to where we are, or you want to do that?
Well, we'll go through the introductions, right, and then we'll get to that. So, Carl.
Good. I'm Carl Camden. I am president and founder of IPSI US. I used to be the CEO of Kelly Services, which deploys about 1 million independent workers over the course of a year. The issue that we have seen in the U.S. was that healthcare access was extremely limited, too impossible to get on any type of a basis for independent workers, who now represent a third of the American workforce. We're here joining this hoping two things. One, we're hoping that blockchain enables us to bring down the cost of healthcare generically, but also will make it so that individual rated or association rated pricing is not significantly different than employer rated pricing so that we can deal with healthcare access. Bottom line is 37 million independent workers don't have healthcare insurance. We have to fix that. And I'm looking at every solution we can as to how do we go about fixing that.
Very good. Mary.
Good afternoon. I'm Mary Butler Everson. I'm representing the Healthcare Utility Network Alliance Consortium. We are composed of several payers and providers, as well as technology and financial services. We have Aetna, Anthem, Cigna, HCSC, Large Blue in the middle of the country, Sentara Health System, Cleveland Clinic, PNC Healthcare, PNC Bank, which I am employed by, and IBM. We are recruiting and in active conversation with four additional founding members.
God, now wait a minute, Cigna's in both of these. Is that a problem?
No, not at all.
Okay, more alliances, that's all good. Okay, Eric.
Thanks, John. Good afternoon, everybody. My name is Merrick Vaz. I'm from the United Healthcare Office of the CIO, where I lead an innovation portfolio, including several blockchain initiatives. I'm here wearing my Synaptic hat. Synaptic Health Alliance was founded in late 2017. And as of today, we have United Healthcare, Aetna. I've got to make sure I don't
Cigna,
right?
because we're counting, right? So United Healthcare, Aetna, Humana, MultiPlan, Quest Diagnostics, and Optum.
Great. Well, why don't we go ahead and start with you? We're going to go backwards here. I am a provider. Do you know that every year that I have to submit my data to God only knows how many hundreds of organizations, and every one of them has to go through some third-party intermediary to verify who I am, where I went to medical school, and what I'm board certified in. And Talk to us about what the Synaptic Network Alliance views the future to be in a world where we have provider directories driven by blockchain.
Sure. So we picked provider directory maintenance as a use case to start with because we wanted to do two things. One, we wanted to test out how blockchain could work to solve an operational use case. And then we wanted to focus on something that was relatively simple in the sense that we were working with non-competitive data that would encourage healthcare organizations to come and partner with us. So since late 2017, we've been focused on testing out our ability to share provider directory updates with each other using our Synaptic blockchain platform. We've tested out our ability to share the data. We have tested out our ability to score each other's data. So I have a sense of whether I trust Aetna's data more than I trust Humana's, for example, using our Synaptic scores. And now we're testing our ability to share provider outreach operations as well. So those are the three different scenarios within the directory use case that we've been testing. So for you as a physician, we want to make sure that we don't individually keep pinging you for data corrections about where you're practicing, and you have to take that same call six different times from six different Synaptic members. You take it once, and everybody else gets access to the correction.
And so lest the audience think that this is a solved problem, right? There's a national provider index, the so-called NPI. Well, I have one. My emergency department has one. My hospital has one. In fact, my hospital has 27 of them. Mm-hmm. And so the belief that you could actually have a provider directory that's operated by CMS in the NPI system, nah. You know, so this is definitely an interesting approach.
Yeah, and the industry is spending over $2 billion trying to keep this data up to date every day, every hour, every week. So we believe that what we're trying to do is bring down that cost to well below $2 billion and make sure that we create space and time on your calendar so that you can focus on your patients.
All good. So Mary, now we've heard about his use case, mm-hmm. provider directories, and we understand a little bit about why blockchain, trusted, decentralized ledger that everyone can read, not very controversial data. Talk about your use cases.
So, thank you. We're looking at it a slightly different fashion. We came together as, eight going to 11 founding members saying we want to solve large problems in healthcare. Taking maybe small or narrow slices. Our major focus right now is building the governance and the incentive models and incentive structure, recognizing that there is variability in data so that we don't have withhold of data, so that those with the best data are willing to share it. We intend to be an open, completely open network. We want folks to join us. Each of the members, the founding members that exist today, are all actively involved in working on several use cases. If you were here earlier today, you may have heard Paco Cabrera from IBM talk about a use case he's working on with us. And two of our payer clients, payer founding members, I shouldn't say clients, they're founding members. Two of our payer founding members, as well as provider members, looking at alternative payment models is one of our primary use cases. Coordination of benefits is another use case that's actively being worked on. Again, there are problems that in the grand scheme of things may be a small, say 5 or 10% of revenue touching, but they're massive in terms of what I call value sucking from our organizations. There's no solid automated fashion. There's a tremendous number of hand touches on all of these things. There's significant back and forth reconcilement with massive spreadsheets. So our goal is really looking at how do we tackle the big problems, show them with some narrow use cases to prove it out. But each of those use cases have elements that are fundamental in the larger problems. So you have folks participating, when I say folks, I mean organizations coming in, proving the value, and then opening it up for others to join because you've proven out the basic standards that what we want to do. And our whole goal is really looking at creating some level of standards, not to impede activity, but in fact to accelerate activity. Because in healthcare, and I spent the majority of my life as both the majority on the provider side for a major health system, then on a payer side, and now with the bank, worry about me big time. But the problem is we have standard-ish in healthcare. There really isn't standards. In financial services, what I've found is that there are standards for things that don't add value, but are create the infrastructure or the spine or the neurosystem, whatever you'd like to call it, that allows transactions and activity to occur fairly seamlessly and painlessly, whether you're a business or an individual, because we've agreed on standards for those transactions. I think we need to get there in healthcare. And I think that would help us then take a lot of the value sucking activities out, like faxes, like prior authorizations, those types of things that I think a blockchain has value to support and allow us to redeploy assets and resources to where they belong, and that's caring for our citizens.
So the great thing about healthcare data standards is there are so many of them.
Yeah.
And so what you heard are two use cases that illustrate why alliances are good. So if all the payers come together and agree there's a provider directory everyone can share, right, it's going to reduce administrative burden for everybody. Here, remember, sometimes the issue is technology and sometimes it's policy, but most of the time it's psychiatry. And so if you have like-minded people who are willing to trust a decentralized ledger because no one owns it and it isn't your proprietary data being stolen by a competitor, that's going to cause data to flow. Mm-hmm. So Carl, you've got a slightly different role here, but tell us about your use case and where blockchain might fit in.
Good. So independent workers intersect with blockchain technology in two ways. One way relevant very much to healthcare. The first one I'll start with is a little more developed, which is inside the credentialing space. So if you look at a workforce that doesn't measure tenure in years, but measures assignments that are often measured in weeks, occasionally months, credentials that have to be obtained from different states, different times, work experience that has to be verified. You see a lot of movement on the blockchain side inside the employment industry dealing with the independent workers as large companies especially are beginning to look for that certifiable, usable way of understanding what the credentials, what the experience are. And so very useful in how I first encountered blockchain terminology, blockchain philosophy. Inside the healthcare space, which has become the number one social issue for independent workers in the United States, because so many of them go without access to healthcare. And when you look at healthcare insurance. And when you look at those who are especially on the professional side in the accounting, the scientific space, and so on, they're often changing geographies as well as where they're working as they go, in our scientist's case, from clinical trial to clinical trial, or engineer from one project here to one project there, changing providers, changing medical records, and so on. And as we've looked for solutions as to how we deal with that group, we become increasingly interested with how's blockchain then going to interface with the lives of these workers who are moving in the space of weeks or months? How do we have medical records that cut across multiple states, not in a question of decades, but in a question of months, years? How do you maintain a common medical record? How do you maintain common access to treatment regimens, results, and so on? And so very interested in this technology, but I won't claim to be anywhere near the technical expertise that you all possess. But in terms, thank God, but in terms of the people who are, who need to utilize this, the two places that, we intersect, are deep, have deep needs for this to be effective, usable, and to change the outcomes of how they go about seeking work or how they go about seeking medical care.
See, darn, Carl, I was going to ask you about scalability of Ethereum versus Bitcoin, but shucks. So to your point, I mean, I run a large animal sanctuary west of Boston, and I have 80 volunteers and employees that come and go, and they're seasonal workers and all the rest. Try tracking Cori checks. Mm-hmm. You know, right as you suggest, it's like you got people coming and going, and tracking this data is very, very difficult. QuickBooks, that's about the best I can do. So David, tell us about your use cases, and feel free to elaborate how all your people got involved.
Okay, yeah, thanks. So first of all, it was in terms of alliances and working across healthcare, we had the pleasure of a call a month or so ago with myself, John, and Mary, and American. I think we've talked about this a bit in previous sessions, kind of put the technology to one side. It's about the solving problems for the patient, enabling the provider to provide better service to the patient across all of the healthcare ecosystem. Mm-hmm. And since then, Mary and I have had a call because we both have a common relationship with Anthem. And so we tried to see how we can connect and kind of leverage things there. So I think at a minimum, take the technology one side, how can we build that better trusting relationship, business partners to do that? So from a Coalesce Health Alliance, we started about a year ago looking at, with a couple of our Blue Cross Blue Shield customers, at just blockchain technology, but we also said we understood that operating blockchain is about a consortium and business networks. So we set about defining how you'd actually run a consortium and what the governance structures would be, and we focused on that as much as the technology platform. So we established kind of the concepts of steering committees and work groups and how they need to work together. How do you get information flowing in there? How do you make decisions around technology? How do you make decisions around business value? And kind of we've learned and grown over the last year around that, as well as doing a pilot around the concept of distributed accumulators. Now, if you're a patient, you will have, or a healthcare user, you would have experienced this probably if you ever filled a prescription somewhere. So often when you go fill a prescription, you are to pay a copay or a certain amount of money. And often than not, maybe 50% of the time, that amount is changed at some point in the process. So later on, you're asked to pay more or less, or we've taken too much. That's because there's a whole data sharing that goes on behind the scenes, from the pharmacies to the pharmacy benefit managers and the medical claims processes. And they're looking at you and your accumulators. Where are you in your deductibles, et cetera, and how do we balance that information? Because that happens on a batch cycle perspective. You get all this dissatisfaction from the patient, and you have then folks at the health payer organizations and the PBMs who are working to reconcile that. So a lot of inefficiency in the process. We picked that use case because it was core to our business model. We looked at some of the other ones. We also knew the Synaptic Health Alliance was looking at the provider credentialing, so it doesn't make sense to have another consortium looking at that. They're looking at that they have some great progress made there. So then through Blue Cross Blue Shield of Massachusetts, is one of our customers, we gave the Express Scripts, because that's their primary PBM. They were interested in participating in this. And then through another of our customers, which is Blue Cross Blue Shield New Jersey Horizon, Prime Therapeutics is their PBM, so they became involved. So we kind of expanded the network based on our relationship and the business case. So where we are right now, we're right in the middle of our beta pilot, which in essence is a pre-production phase. So we hope that by next year, we'll actually have our first production implementation of this for at least a couple of the Blues and the PBMs, where we'll be sharing accumulator values through a blockchain network in a distributed manner. Now, the technology, the Hyperledger technology that's running, is probably the easiest bit of this. I think we've talked about this mm-hmm. in other sessions. So the hard bits are getting organizations to work together, just in terms of simply just the contracting to join a consortium. I think Mary and I talked about that. The time it gets organizations that haven't worked together before, just getting the legal teams to agree how to work together, who owns what IP, what are you actually working on, that takes a long time. And then actually integrating to the legacy systems. So I think the IBM gentleman had that on his fourth stage of his slides. So you pick the use case, you do some kind of business blueprint, you do the technology, now you have to integrate it into your existing processes. That's also a mm-hmm. tremendous lift. If you think about all the existing work that provider systems have, or in our case, insurers, and now you're asking them to communicate to a different method, maybe in real time, mm-hmm. that's a big lift. So there's been a lot of learnings, and we hope that we'll be able to share those with the other alliances so we can both work together in terms of improving healthcare.
Great. So I'm gonna push David to a use case I really want solved. So part of my farm is a million bees. So I thought it would probably be a good idea to have two EpiPens, because what if a drunk teenager falls into a million bees in the middle of the night? It could be bad. So what did I do? I went on my e-prescribing system, which is connected to all the networks you've just mentioned, and looked for tier one, covered by all PBMs, absolutely formulary and perfect coverage, and I wrote for two EpiPens. I then went to Walgreens and they said, your copay will be $600. And of course you ask the question, doesn't the doctor at the point of prescribing understand what your out-of-pocket expense will be? The answer is
no.
Nope.
Yeah, we actually have a solution for that.
Yay! So if to his point, you can create a distributed ledger that an EHR could query and say, oh, you have a choice. Drug A, drug B, drug C, three different packages. This one, $5, this one, $500. I'll go with a five, thank you.
And it ties in, and there's obviously more to it than just the ledger. There's all the other process in terms of your benefits, you know, and that's the complexity of all the insurance systems, is how your benefits are held and how claims process against that.
Well, here, David, so here, this is my health insurance card. So take a look at that.
Luckily, I don't have my reading glasses.
So you need, this is four-point type, and it includes the copays on every possible variation in care at every place I could be, and there's not a person on this planet who understands it. So solve that for me, will you?
Yeah, that's I'm glad I met John before, because I know this probably where this was going to go.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so we have a couple of minutes left, and maybe open it up for the audience in a second, but I just do want to push on. If each of you could say, why blockchain? You know, that is, in 2018, it seemed like the obvious choice. It was the technology buzzword of the moment. In 2019, other folks are saying, you know, it's lost its luster. Why blockchain?
Actually, I don't believe that it needs to be blockchain.
Right.
And I'm not a technologist, so I don't swear by blockchain. We just happen to pick blockchain because three or four architects from our companies kept meeting each other at blockchain conferences, and I think over drinks they said, you know, it'll be cool if we convince our executives to invest some money so that we can try out some blockchain work. And that is literally how Synaptic came about, to be honest. But as we were talking about the use case that we wanted to pursue, we decided to pick the provider directory use case because we felt that that would be a use case that could benefit from some of the capabilities of blockchain. So the idea being you bring competitors together to collaborate on a platform on a non-competitive use case. So there's this trust issue that we've been talking about all day, right? But you use the technology to break down some of those trust barriers. We're using blockchain to enable our data crowdsourcing approach for sharing directory updates and finding those directory updates. We're using the security elements, the encryption that blockchain brings about, the fact that the data is cannot be changed, right? And I'm kind of using generic terms, I'm not the technologist here. But we decided as we were trying to figure out the use case, we decided that blockchain seemed ideal for this use case. As we've talked about other use cases, we clearly believe that there are use cases that blockchain doesn't really need to be the underlying technology.
Great. So what you heard is choose the technology that solves your problem. In the case of blockchain, it's not just a technology, it's a platform and an approach.
Yep.
Well, Mary, how about you?
Simple, what he said. No. So we looked at it for all the reasons that Merrick said. But I think really what it came down to is smart contracts, the ability to enable smart contracts to auto-execute and create deterministic payment. And by the way, I'm not a technologist at all. I'm a strategy business person. I actually, when we were working on this, started maybe 3.5 years ago, PNC, for those of you who don't know, we've been in healthcare for almost 30 years. We have a clearinghouse. We do electronic data transactions, blah, blah, blah. I can remember vividly sitting in the airport in LaGuardia and saying, we should be out of the business. clearinghouses would be disintermediated. Mm-hmm. All these, a lot of these connectors that exist should be out of the business. You know, blockchain can create new business models. It's really to create real-time, transparent, secure, deterministic execution of things that are very paper-driven, mm-hmm. Delayed, require consistent and ongoing reconcilement of, you know, somebody said earlier this morning, 9 months for bundled payments to be reconciled with Medicare. Really? Really? How are we going to move to a value-based payment system under that? And blockchain also enables a more mutualized infrastructure. If we're sharing the cost of infrastructure, again, you don't have to keep each of us, you know, putting in millions and billions of dollars in our infrastructure to auto-adjudicate a claim that could be adjudicated through a different fashion. That's why blockchain for us.
Got it. So it's a utility. And it's a shared utility.
Thank you,
It basically takes the focus off having to build yet another bit of infrastructure and support. Why blockchain, Carl?
I actually found that question to be interesting, because what happens as the CEO, multi-billion dollar company, they never come to me to actually get an opinion as to whether blockchain's the right answer.
Right. It must be your Bitcoin investments.
Yeah. When it comes, they walk in and they say, we need to do blockchain. And you've hired the CIO. The CIO has been blessed by whichever board member you've assigned to pay attention to the CIO's meanderings. And the CIO and the board member both say we need to do it. And then it's down to how much do we need to spend? How do we get there? And it moves on. So by the time it leaves the CIO level, it's no longer a decision by the management team to do blockchain or alternative A, B, or C.
Got it. I need to work for him because, you know, I've been a CIO for 25 years. I have no authority of any kind.
You need to work for a different company.
There you go. So, David, why blockchain?
Yeah, and maybe I'd just to give a slightly different perspective, because I agree with very much with what the other panelists have said, is there's just within an organization, you need to be looking at what technologies or business paradigms can change and innovate and help you grow as a company and help you to solve the problems of your customers. So the concept is kind of incubation of different ideas. I think blockchain certainly fitted in that with a lot of companies in the last couple of years. So you'd work through different areas of technology. I think a lot of people are now looking at different forms of artificial intelligence, whether some mm-hmm. proof of concepts around that 3 or 4 years ago, and that's become more instantiated. It's there in the way we work with Amazon and Siri and all those things. So blockchain kind of was the next one there. And so organizations said, I want to be disrupting. I want to be part of this disruption. What can it do to help me grow? So I think some companies did it in their innovation arms, and I think that's how it came out of a lot of organizations. Mm-hmm. So I think that's part of it, just to say, can this help drive and solve problems? And then as it shifts out of there, it's about what we talked about. So in our particular use case, it's about the distributed nature of real-time information that you have consensus on. So therefore, mm-hmm. it develops that trust. And so those facets of it, you know, are key. And then security, because we haven't talked about this much here, but we have a whole legal security and privacy and compliance work stream around our solution. Mm-hmm. And so you have to work through around, does blockchain enable that? Does it make it more risky? Is it less risk averse? But right. Potentially it has the ability to help with security. Nothing is ever 100% secure. You know that as a technologist. But it might help with some of the capabilities around that.
Sure. And so what he said is quite important, that baking security into the infrastructure at foundation level. I was in Amsterdam 2 days ago, and we were talking about GDPR. And of course, everyone said, oh, we can't share data for any purpose. GDPR prevents that. Well, no. Right. It tells us how. And blockchain is an instantiation of a set of security and privacy principles that may simplify some of this work.
Yep.
Well, hey, I think we have probably a minute or two for an audience question. Yeah. So anything out there in the world? Best blockchain platform, Ethereum, Hyperledger? Yeah, go ahead.
Hi, Robert Miller from Consensus Health. In the blockchain space, like ethos of open and permissionless networks, right? And that stands in contrast to the closed and fragmented systems that we have in healthcare perhaps. And I'm wondering if you all could talk about, from the perspective of the consortia, how you're thinking about adding members and perhaps the governance functions, and where you might fall along that spectrum of closed and fragmented versus open and permissionless in the future.
Mm-hmm. I give a quick short answer. So, yeah, we certainly view ours as a private permission network. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think it would be hard in our industry to not, almost impossible, to not operate it in that manner, given the controls you need to have in place in terms of security, identity, and privacy. Mm-hmm. So that, and that's one of the things where you talk about when you differentiate yourself from like a Bitcoin type solution in terms of the business model. It's an instantiation of a technology in a different business model. So that's a quick short answer.
Mm-hmm. Great.
Yeah, I would agree, and that's how we've got our blockchain mm-hmm. set up as well. And we're actually actively recruiting health systems now because we're trying to pivot towards a second use case, and we want that second use case to be patient-facing. So as we recruit new members, we actually have created instructions, and we've got a lot of help-type information that we've made available to these new members to help them stand up their node and connected to our Synaptic blockchain network and tested back and forth, et cetera. Yep. But yeah, it has to be permissioned. It has to be a secure closed mm-hmm. network.
And just to amplify their points, in the state of Massachusetts, Lauren Peters, who is here as one of our undersecretaries working mm-hmm. in the office of EOHHS, is working on regulations which will help us understand who, from a data perspective, can participate in a data exchange and what are the objective criteria by which they should be enabled to join. We don't want to exclude anybody if they're a trusted party who will drive value from the network, but if it's two folks in a garage who are mining data in an inappropriate way, that's not so good. Yeah. Well, I think we are at time, Brian, and so we will thank these folks so much. And I think next we have a Telemedicine Titans group. So thanks again.
Thank you. The 2019 Converge to Accelerate conference is brought to you by IEEE, the world's largest technical professional organization for the advancement of technology. Boehringer Ingelheim, passionately working to improve healthcare. NASCO, advancing digital health together. IPSI US, the Association of Independent Workers, for one, for all. Partners in Digital Health, publishers of the forward-reaching blockchain in Healthcare Today and Telehealth and Medicine Today. Special consideration to iWorker Innovations, taking the independent workforce to new heights. Connected Health Conference, designing for healthy habits and better outcomes. Haven Health Solutions, providing true blockchain transactional interop